Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi there, welcome to Theater Geeks, a podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We have a special guest today, Susan Whitby. And the reason that Susan is here, well, twofold. We just love to have her here and talk about her two daughters who are professionals now, started in community theater in our area here in Northern Indiana, and have since moved on to the Disney Channel, which we'll get into in a minute. But
Disney and Nickelodeon
and all that kind of thing.
Good stuff.
So welcome to Theater Geeks.
Thank you for having me.
Your daughters, Audrey and Maddie, are talented young ladies who are now, are they both at the Disney Channel now, or are they, they're kind of doing a number of things, right?
That's right. Audrey is 18 and mm-hmm. Maddie is 23. And Audrey started out and she did a show on Disney when she was 14 called So Random. It was one season. And then now she's on two shows on Nickelodeon, The Thundermans and Awesomeness TV on Nick. And Maddie does the morning. She's the morning DJ on the Radio Disney Channel. Mm-hmm. You can get it on Sirius or you can do the app. And they do the morning school drive for the kids, Morgan and Maddie in the morning. So you can hear her on Radio Disney and also see her hosting little snippets on the channel. And like John said, he saw her on the Radio Disney Music Awards.
Yeah.
So you can see her doing things like that. Also, Maddie owns a production company with a girl who's from the area, Monica Scherer. It's called Mad Money Productions. And they produced videos. They were just featured on Funny or Die. And they've been on Good Morning America. And it's a lot of musical parodies. They're very funny. So. Okay.
Yeah, I missed her on Good Morning America. It's when you know kids from a young age, because I can't remember how old Audrey and Maddie were when I first met them. Maddie must have been like 12, maybe.
Yes.
I think 12, and that would have put Audrey at like 8 or 7 or something. So I've known them forever. It's just been fun to watch them grow up. And so every time I hear they're going to be on television, I try to keep my eye on the television to catch them, but it's been fun to see that and see their growth as well, because they've really grown a lot.
What drove the decision for them to go out? You just returned from a year actually being with, or a couple of years?
5 years.
Five years of being with them out in California while they're getting started and starting to move through, more and more work. What drove the decision to move out there in the first place, to actually go?
Well, Audrey was 13 and Maddie was just turning 18. She was finished with her high school work and Audrey was homeschooled. And we just, it was one of those things. The girls really wanted to go and try pilot season. We didn't know much about it, and there's really not a pilot season per se anymore. They're shooting pilots year round. Mm-hmm. And the year we happened to go was the year during the pilot strike. The writer's strike.
Yeah.
So there was absolutely, it was the worst pilot season to pick, I think. But they really wanted to go out and try it. And we went out we planned to be there January through the end of April. And so those 4 months, turned into 5 years. And
wow.
Audrey turning 18, I figured it was kind of time to get back to the Midwest and my life here. But, it was they really wanted to go out and try it.
Right. So and so you wanted to support them as a parent and be part of that, obviously. What was the hardest thing about it in those first couple of years?
I think it is just really not knowing what you're doing, second guessing all of your choices and being away, because what we did is David would commute out. He would come out every 4 to 6 weeks. It was easier for David to come out to visit us than all of us to come back here. So, of course, being away from him and being out there, and it's all very new and different. And, I was making a lot of decisions, on my own. And I think it's just such a different industry. And especially when you're doing it for your child, you always want to do the right thing. So I think that was hard for me. Is mm-hmm. just, questioning, are we doing the right thing? Is this the right agent? We're making, they need new headshots. Have we chosen the right person? Because you're spending a great amount of money on all of the, these headshots, and you don't want to make a bad choice. Or, they say, should she go out for this audition or should she not? And, again, I'm a mom, but it helped once I realized we got people around us who knew what they were doing. And I think when you put a team around you who this is their job, and you do feel very confident and comfortable, and that they have, the best interest for your child, then it helps when you're having to make decisions.
Was that team like a team that you put together, like an agent, or was it more also a body of people that were doing the same thing that you were doing but have been doing it longer? Or
I feel like we had some great luck, because when we got there, in the same apartment complex, a little girl Audrey had made friends with at the pool said, "You should come to my acting class." And so Audrey and Maddie went to the acting class, and we met John D'Aquino, who mentors a lot of young actors. He was very, very wonderful to the girls. And meeting John and being in that class really helped them prepare for what they were doing. And then, through the parent, other parents in the class, one of the parents said, "You really need to see our agent, and she needs to see Audrey." And so Audrey went for an audition with this agent, and the agents have turned out to be just wonderful and so great to Audrey and great to me. And then through that, a manager mm-hmm. and a publicist now. And I feel like now I can sit back and say, this is not my forte. Their recommendations really mean a lot because they know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it is it's taking a village.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, another interesting thing that we were talking about, for those of you who don't know, we always meet for breakfast before we come to record, but, over breakfast was, is 4 months enough time to, a lot of people think we'll go out for 4 months and then we should be good. Is that enough?
6 months, yeah.
Yeah. It really isn't. That was the conversation David and I had at the end of 4 months. I said, I feel like we've invested a lot in this 4 months. And they were doing well with their classes and getting agents and that kind of thing. I said, but it's just not enough time. And I said, they need to, like anything, the casting directors and the network and producers, they need to see an actor come into auditions over and over again for different things before they have the confidence that, they're going to bring a good performance every time. So I feel like it took about a year of them auditioning, and the casting director seeing them over and over and going, okay, yeah, they bring it every time. I think we can really consider them. So I don't think 4 months was enough. And, you know, I think it really took us a little over a year to really get our feet on the ground there. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And by that point, and we've talked about this already, but so your girls are working and ta-da, we don't have to worry about the expenses anymore.
Oh. No,
you know, it is definitely a, something that you're going to have to supplement, you're still going, even if they are working, it's usually not for a lot. The cost of living is so high, and you find out that most of the acting families out there are making huge changes in their lifestyle, especially if they're, you know, have a home. Like, we moved out of our family home and rented it, and my mm-hmm. husband moved into a small place, and so that we could afford to pay out there. But as the parents, you're going to be paying for their experience, and, right. and even if they're working, it's not enough really to count on.
Well, it's like most professional acting, probably, where the majority of professional actors aren't making that much money. You know, I can't remember what the statistics are. It's like $4,000 a year. You know, so yes. So it's kind of crazy out there. And so everybody, even if you're an adult in that situation, are, you know, you're waiting tables, you're doing something to supplement your income.
And as kids,
the kids don't have that ability.
It's
so
the parents. Who it's the parents. Them. Yeah. Well, but you know that you hear about actors who make $1 million a movie. Well, that's a handful of people who may make that much working.
Right.
The majority of professional working actors don't make a lot of money. It's not a very lucrative field, and things are changing. I think used to the actors made money with residuals. Some of those rules are changing. They're not making as much residuals these days, if any. And so it's definitely something you have to think about, because there's a lot of expenses, like I said, like headshots. And every time you do something, it seems like it's going to cost a fortune.
Mm. And but it does.
What and now your girls are doing well right now. In the time period that you were out there, what would have been the trigger to say, you know, let's go home?
You know, I think I talked about this with John. We had been out there almost a year, and I looked at Audrey and I said, you know, I miss Dad. You know, I miss our house. I miss being at, let's go home. It's almost, you know, it's almost a year, or it's at a year. Let's go home after Christmas. And we had almost decided to, and, well, actually I had decided in my mind, and, she booked so random. And, so it was like, at that point, we were like, well, we'll stay and let her do this work and see how it goes. And it seems like, you know, for me, after every project was finished, I was like, well, that might be it. We can go home now. And something else would come along.
Right.
So
was it once they started getting work, then they started getting work? I mean, it's kind of like that's how it works almost.
I do think it's easier once you work. Then you have something on your resume, it's a little easier to get your foot in the door. Not a lot easier, but you know, mm-hmm. it does help to have something on your resume. And especially if you've worked with people and they like what you did, then they're always going to say, oh, I want to work with her again. And hopefully that brings more work.
Right. Well, and luckily, with a channel like Disney, which is producing numerous youth-oriented shows all the time, if they really like you at Disney, is that something that also helps as well? If that particular studio likes you, Do they try to help work with you again?
I do. I think they're always going to keep you in mind and call you in, especially like they know they can count on you to come in and bring your performance. And they're going to go with, you know, the right person they think is right for the job. It, just because you've worked for them, I don't think they're going to choose you for that reason. But they will be more likely to see you for the parts, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. which I've talked about. It's not actually getting the job. It's actually getting the auditions. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to get the auditions if you don't have a great agent or they don't, you know you and want to see you. So just getting into the audition is sometimes you're just doing a little happy dance because you got the audition.
Yeah.
You didn't get the job, but you got the audition.
So that little bit of adrenaline makes you want to stay out there. I'm guessing for a lot of performers, that's it. If they get that once in a while, that's good enough, at least for a while.
It is. I think a lot of times they're like, this time, you know, there's always the hope of this is going to be the job.
Mm-hmm. You look like you had a question for me, Dave.
I don't have a question.
Dave just looked at me as like,
He's looking for a question on his iPad.
No.
So I wanted to ask about the classes, I guess, was another thing I kind of wanted to ask about. I mean, so the girls got involved with classes fairly quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
And do you think that's an important thing? I mean, other than just trying to go to every audition that you can get to?
Yeah. Oh, the classes are great. And they're, I would totally recommend, if your child thinks they want to do that, then there are several very reputable classes, and they'll do intensive sometimes in the summer or over the holidays. They'll do a whole week, and the kids can go. It's kind of a camp situation. The kids go and they get to work with cold reads, what it's like to go into a room, what it's like to work with a single camera, what it's like to work with four cameras, which is very different. And it's a wonderful experience. And the classes that the girls have done, you know, the instructors and the consultants are very honest about if you're ready for this, if they're going to be ready for this. So if you're not living in LA, but you think that your child thinks they might want to do that, that might be worth a week of your time to take them. Cynthia Baines, Young Actor Studio, is wonderful. John D'Aquino runs a great workshop, and I feel like they would be very honest, and the kids have great experience. Mm-hmm.
Well, honesty is something that you often hear you don't get much of.
Yeah.
Do you know, because that's kind of like the horror stories that you hear, is that people aren't honest with you because they
love you.
Yeah. Well, they love you. They want you as one of their people on, you know, I can't think what they call them. One of their actors or whatever. And they'll tell you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear.
Yes.
And that kind of goes that way with acting programs, I think, across the United States, not just going fresh out to Hollywood. But I think a lot of times some acting programs just tell you what you want to hear because they want to produce actors and get you through their program and get the number of people that they get in their programs as large as possible. But they may not be honest with you. Yes. Because they just are trying for numbers, and sometimes it's better to make sure that you have an honest person.
So your fraud detector goes up pretty well. You get very, very good at it after a while.
I don't know if you get very good at it, but my husband and I have a thing. He goes, "Now, is that a Hollywood I love ya? Or is that a real I love ya?"
Yeah.
Because, Audrey walk out of every audition and go, she goes, "They love me." And I'm like, "Yeah, they love everyone." You know, it's one of those. We got very lucky that Audrey had coached with before So Random, and through her agent, she has a wonderful coach, and this coach is very, very honest brutally honest. And Audrey and Maddie are both kind of tough enough that they can, she doesn't sugarcoat it. And I feel like that has been the most wonderful thing because mm-hmm. it, you know, keeps them honest with themselves. A lot of, you know, there's a lot to say to have, you know, build your children up and have them have great self-esteem, but you don't want it to be false mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because you don't want them to go into something and expect more.
Well, it sounds like one of your jobs is to keep the kids grounded. I mean, keep them in reality. Yes. in a way.
And it does become hard because yeah. you're like, sometimes you start thinking that is such an LA thing. I would have never, you know, and you think that's just too LA.
Yeah.
And you find yourself considering it. And then you think, whoa, back up. And so as parents, sometimes, you know, you're there and you have to check yourself as mm-hmm. well and not buy into a lot of things because yeah. you're still the parent. You're still your child's advocate. And, you know, it's not about this is it's a business and this is your life and their life and you want the best for them.
Well, and as an advocate, I think it's interesting also because I know you've talked about the fact what your requirements were after Audrey was booked onto a show because you weren't allowed just to let her walk onto set by herself every day.
No. Yeah. There are a lot of requirements. You have to be with them on set and they have set teachers. We were finding lots of times the set school was very rigorous, but it was a wonderful experience because, especially on So Random, it was Audrey and Allison were the only two that were still in school, and they had this wonderful set teacher, Marcia, and she could spend, you know, they would be in class for 4 hours a day, mm-hmm. and they had a lot of one-on-one treatment, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and that was a wonderful part of it. But in California, they're very, the set teachers and how long they can be on set, how long they have to go to school, what actually they can do is very strict. And the teachers are, they're responsible for them. Mm-hmm. So when it's time, they call it timing out. If your child's been there for, depending on the age, but if it's 8 hours and it's time, they can't work longer. They can't be on set. They've done school for 4 hours. Maybe they've done, you know, they've been on set for 4 more hours. But if that 8 hours comes and it's time for them, they call it a hard out, time out. The set teacher will step in and say, you know, they've got to go. They've got to leave.
That's one of the reasons they use twins on a lot of television yeah. shows, because they could basically have a full day with somebody who looks exactly like somebody else yeah. all day.
Baby. We had a couple of babies on yeah. One of the shows that Audrey did. And I had a great time. The cutest little twins, but they did have to, they needed two of them to get the shots in.
Right. Yeah. That's neat. It's interesting. It's one of those little things about it. What is the most enjoyable part of it?
You know, I had a moment where I called David. It was toward the end of So Random, and I was on set with Audrey, and she had a signature character called the I'm Going to Marry Zach Feldman Show. And the writers were wonderful. They wrote 4 different sketches for Julia Peters, the little girl who's obsessed with the 12-year-old boy who does her own little blog show about I'm going to marry Zach Feldman. And she's kind of insane.
Right.
And Audrey was great at it. But, you know, we had gone through almost a whole season, and this was the last Julia Peters sketch. And it had to be a continuous shot. And it was about 7 minutes long. And, you know, it was driven by Audrey. And she I had seen so much growth, and she knew we had started and we didn't even know the cameras and all. It was so overwhelming. And she really kind of just owned that entire scene and did it so beautifully and wonderfully. And she was so happy and in her element. And I called David and I said, okay, we did the right thing. I just watched her just fly, and she mm-hmm. had, she was so, so happy, and she did such a good job. And you could tell she was, she felt so good about, and about what she was doing. So yeah, that's the most enjoyable part, when you see them liking what they're doing.
Yeah.
Succeeding.
Well,
because actors are terribly hard on themselves. So if you live with an actor, they criticize themselves, or they don't want to watch themselves, or they're never happy with it. So when you see them happy, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you've seen Dee Dee fly a lot of times.
Several.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes.
And it's fun. I
go with Dee Dee when she's in a play. She will never read the reviews, no matter if people say, God, did you read that? It was wonderful about you. When she said, I don't read them ever till the play is totally over. Then, so I have to print them out and keep them all together.
Yes.
That's mother's job anymore.
That's right. So,
are you doing that, Susan? Are you doing the printouts and the cutouts and the scrapbooks?
Of
and
course.
I do. Yeah. I do. We have it in anything that they're on. We've saved it on our DVR, and it's almost full. So now
what do you do?
I know. That's
Well, you talk to what's his name down the road here in Bristol and have him put it all on DVDs for you.
Well, that's true.
Well,
thank you.
You're welcome.
I will. We've just started to worry about that.
There okay. you go.
Well, that's cool. And we can catch the girls on what right now? We can on the Disney Radio, right?
Radio Disney. Maddie and Morgan in the morning. Mm-hmm. So kids aren't in school right now, but if you're up in the morning and going, you'll hear them, and and then you can see Audrey on the Thundermans on Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
On Awesomeness TV on Nickelodeon. She just did a little movie for Nickelodeon called Terry the Tomboy.
No, and that's the one where she got dumped in the chili. Is that
yes.
right? Okay.
She's not Terry the Tomboy. She plays the mean girl, and at the end was dumped in a huge vat of chili. And she said it was the worst experience, but it looks great on camera.
Okay. Ugh. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We're Robin sitting here talking to Susan Whidbey, who is the mother of Audrey and Maddie Whidbey, both being successful actresses and performers in California. And you just came back from 5 years of supporting all of that.
Into
major snowstorms. That's right. Right.
By my husband of bringing the worst winter ever.
Oh, well. If you didn't come back here, you couldn't have had breakfast with us at Evans, right?
Oh, geez.
There you go.
You know, I'm
there's
thrilled.
An attraction.
I love the Midwest. I love being here. So I'm glad to be back. I have to say, you know, I told you at breakfast, L.A. is the only place that when children turn 18, the parents move out. And I know I wasn't the only one. A lot of Audrey's friends were turning 18, and there mm-hmm. was an exodus of the parents who were like, we're going back to, you know, our lives now, because even though it's great to support their dreams, at some point, you know, it's nice to let them do it. And
right.
And I miss the Midwest, so I'm glad to be back.
All right. Well, thanks again for being with us.
Yeah.
Be sure to stop by our website, and you can stop by our store, which is theatergeeks.com/store, where you can get hats, cups, mugs, all kinds of stuff, including John's favorite.
Underwear.
Okay. And
sorry,
all
Susan.
Sorts of fun things there.
Marcia's just shaking her head back
that's
and
right,
forth.
That's right.
So
that's
used
right.
To it.
Marcia likes the coffee really mug. She's
coffee
very predictable.
The coffee mugs are great.
They're very predictable.
Nothing wrong with being predictable.
There you go.
I love
And you can also pick us up on the Blueberry Network, on iTunes, on Apple TV, on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher.
We're everywhere.
Stitcher, Smart Radio, and any place where podcasts are offered. I'm Dave Dufour.
Very, very solemn. I'm John Schaub.
I'm Marcia Fulmer. We are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.